It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 87% always is my co-host, Steven Brown. And we have been planning this podcast since we started the podcast.
This is finally.
Yeah, we initially were going to premiere our podcast 3 years ago when we started with Skyfall.
Yep.
We didn't get to it, and we ended up doing The Hobbit. And now, we have waited so long, there is another Bond movie out.
Yeah, we planned it this way.
Yeah. Well, I think we planned it this way about a year ago. We were like, we never did that Bond podcast. There's another one coming.
There'll be another one.
But now, Spectre is out.
And it's fair to say this will be pretty spoiler heavy, I'd say.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't find it a movie where, like, major things.
Yeah.
There's not a lot. I don't know if there's much freely. Spoil. Yeah.
So we'll be talk warned freely. If you haven't seen it.
Yeah, we looked at each other as we were recording, and I said, did you see it? You said, yeah. And I said, I saw it. And I said, all right, let's talk about it on the air. So I have no idea.
Well, you saw it yesterday?
I saw it last night, yeah.
Crowded theater?
Barely, yeah.
I went this morning. It was pretty empty.
You went?
Yeah, I saw it this morning.
Oh, you saw it legally.
Yeah, well, that website's down.
Oh.
As these things tend to go.
So you went to a matinee.
Matinee where it was...
Was your theater crowded?
No, there was like three guys in it. What looked like a homeless guy stumbled in halfway through the movie.
It's not what you want in a Bond film.
No, it's not, because that could go any way.
That's not suave.
It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't good.
It wasn't a good movie. And I don't know if I'm being influenced by, like, I don't like to hear, oh, the movie bombed. Like, before it even came out, they were like, it's terrible. They said it's, and this is not true, they said it's the worst Bond movie in 30 years.
Absolutely not true.
And does everyone remember Pierce Brosnan driving around in the Antarctic with a sports car?
Does everyone remember Quantum of Solace? It's not even the worst Daniel Craig movie. It's better than Quantum of Solace.
I can't really remember
Quantum of Solace. That's part of the problem with Quantum of Solace.
You can't remember it?
You can't really remember
it. I can't really remember. Is that the one where the guy hits him in the nuts with a rope?
No, that's Casino Royale.
That's his first one, right?
Quantum of Solace is where there's this weird, like, hotel thing in the desert. And there's this, like, short, sweaty guy is, like, the bad guy in it.
Hmm.
And it's like, it... And it was supposed to, the beginning of it is like takes off right from Casino Royale where he's trying to get revenge for Eva Green dying in Casino Royale.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of goes to, I don't know, it like loses focus and it gets really boring. Like by that last half an hour, you want it to end. And I've seen it maybe three times because I have the big James Bond box set.
Yeah.
So I watched kind of everything again after I got the box set a few years ago. And it's like, it's so... That movie fights your memory.
Yeah.
But this is not as bad as that one, but man, it's not. The one thing that happens in Quantum of Solace that I remember is like he leaves a guy out in the desert.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, you're not going to leave me anything to drink? And he throws an oil can at him. That's like the one.
Is this the one where the movie starts or like he's in Africa and they're like gambling or something?
No, that's also Casino Royale.
Yeah, because I was like, that was good.
Yeah, no, Casino Royale is great.
The guy's like running around the construction
and
site.
So Daniel Craig is now like the reverse Star Trek, where it's like the odd number Daniel Craig
movies
are
really good.
It's like
every other one is terrible.
Yeah,
because this is his fourth. And two of them are good and two of them are shit.
Yeah, two of them are some of the best Bond movies ever.
Yeah.
Casino Royale and Skyfall are some of the best movies they have ever made in this franchise. And now Quantum of Solace and Spectre.
Now, how many of these, and I mean, this I guess will be like a broader James Bond podcast.
I think it can be because I don't know if there's an hour to talk about this movie.
Probably not.
I just felt like, ugh.
We'll get into the movie too, but
yeah,
was this movie based on any book?
No, we have been out of books for a long, long
time. None of the Daniel Craig's were books?
Casino Royale was, but there was a rights issue with that book. So it was the one Ian Fleming book that had not been made into a movie. And what it had been made into, it was made into a TV movie in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Was that included in your box set?
No, no. What's in the box set is just the Albert Broccoli movie. So it doesn't contain that TME movie. It does not contain the late 60s Casino Royale, which is that weird, weird movie with like Peter Sellers and Woody Allen and James Niven.
That I did not see.
Oh, it's bizarre. Orson Welles is in it for a minute. It's like supposed to be a comedy parody of it, but they're all high.
Wow.
It's very hard to follow. And then I've Never Say Never Again. The remake of Thunderball when Sean Connery is clearly too old to be James Bond anymore.
Yeah.
That one was not made by the Broccolis. That's a weird legal thing where it's like the co-writer of Thunderball ended up with part of the rights to James Bond. So he kept suing them for years and years. And then he figured out he was able to remake Thunderball without their involvement because he owned a small piece of it's like the Quicksilver of James Bond.
Yeah.
You know, he owned a small piece of Bond, so he remade it again and then gave Sean Connery a boatload of money to come back as James Bond at the same time the Broccolis were doing Octopussy with Roger Moore.
Okay.
So there was like this one summer where there were two James Bond movies out at the same time.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's not included in the box set. It's just the official from Dr. No to, at the time, it was Do Quantum of Solace, but then they had a slot in the book for Skyfall when that came out.
Or you'd buy like Skyfall on Blu-ray, throw out your box, and put the disc in this collector's
That's exactly
set.
What I did. And now we're at the point where I have all the Bond films, and now Spectre's going to come out and can't fit in this damn book.
Yep. They should have a DVD come out with an extra page for the book.
Yeah, but where do they stop? That's the problem.
Never.
We're never going to stop getting James Bond movies. It's been 50 years of James Bond movies.
Yeah, and I get that there's been a lot of them. But, like, the opening scene is in, like, Mexico City, which was cool. With,
yeah,
like,
was
the
Spectre.
Day of the Dead. That was
yeah.
cool stuff, Spectre.
But that opening sequence had a problem that I had a problem through the movie. Was every time they start the big action sequence, right at the point you think it's going to get going, it stops.
When like, did you think it was going to get going?
Like, so he shoots a guy and then the building falls down and that's kind of cool. And
yeah.
you're like, all right, this movie's going to be pretty good. And then he like goes in this big crowd and he has a fight on a helicopter.
And can I just say the helicopter fight, you want to fight on a helicopter, that's totally fine. And I'm not like a helicopter scientist, but like, I don't think helicopters can fly like upside down. Like it kept going like upside down. And I think as soon as the helicopter is not, like, as soon as the rotors are underneath the helicopter, yeah. it just falls because that physics.
Well, it fell a lot. But
it was a little ridiculous even for James Bond.
Well, honestly, my problem is this movie was not ridiculous enough. Was that, like, it goes straight up and you're like, oh, it's going to be some craziness now. And then it just goes right back down. And then he fights the guys. And then he throws the guy out. He doesn't throw him into the rotors or anything really cool.
Yeah.
And then He beats the helicopter pilot second, which makes no sense because, like, the helicopter pilot's just a guy who's in the way.
Yeah.
Like, get rid of the helicopter pilot, then fight in the helicopter while each of you is trying to control the helicopter.
Yeah.
And crash into some buildings.
They didn't crash into anything.
No.
And they flew around like crazy.
And then he gains control and he's like flying over the city. And I'm like, oh, well, now the helicopter's going to, you know, give out. And he's going to go like through a building and now it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
And then they just start playing this terrible Bond song.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
And the Bond song is terrible.
Yeah. And they released it like a week ago.
Yeah.
The Sam Smith song.
I deliberately didn't listen
just,
to it.
It just sounds like he's crying. Well, I wanted to hear the song stands on its own.
Yeah.
Like the Adele Skyfall song is incredible. And that's part of the reason people hate this movie so much, even though I think it's not nearly the worst Bond film. And we can spend the rest of this podcast talking about the worst Bond film because we've each seen them all.
Yeah, I have a bad memory and we've seen them all in the store. I think I would pick, like, the Pierce Brosnan ones, like, particularly him driving in, like, an ice cave.
That's pretty bad.
With a sports car.
Yeah.
Was pretty awful.
Well, that's part of the problem with Spectre was, when we saw that one, that's Die Another Day. Really bad. But Renee and I were dating at the time, and we were so excited to go see a Bond movie that we spent about a week telling people it was good.
Yeah.
Because, like, we just want to see a Bond movie, and there was a Bond movie.
Yeah.
And it had the ridiculous action pieces, and it had him smirking, and you know, and saying one-liners.
Right.
And we were like, yeah, that's what we want. And then we went back to it. It was like, oh, wait, this is actually terrible.
Well, yeah, it was like, it was pretty, it was like almost like Batman and Robin bad. It was like so ridiculous.
It's pretty bad.
And I haven't seen it in a while, so maybe that's not fair, but it's like, it was just so over the
Madonna's
top.
Madonna's in like, it and sword fights him. It's
yeah, it's like, and it kind of seems like this movie too. Sam Elliott, who directed this movie?
Sam Mendes, who directed Skyfall. Skyfall
is the same guy.
Well, Skyfall was so great and such a big hit, and it actually made a ton of money.
Yeah.
It made like more money than any Bond movie in a long time. So they were like, you know what? Stay here. Do another one.
Yeah.
And like, I got the feeling through this movie that just nobody really gave enough of a crap to make a good Bond movie. And as I said, with that helicopter, right, every big set piece in this felt like it stopped before it got started. There's like a whole action sequence where he's chasing some guys in cars with a plane.
Yeah.
And then like the plane starts getting smashed up and we're like, oh, this is going to be great. And all he really does is kind of land the plane safely. And then the cars smash into it. It's like, he's not clever with the plane. Again, it's a propeller plane. He doesn't chop up the cars with the plane. He doesn't throw a guy into the propellers. He doesn't, parachute out of the plane and land on the car. He just kind of slowly crashes a few times. And then he's running alongside the cars, like in Indiana Jones' The Last Crusade, at a fairly leisurely pace. And then he crashes into one of them. And then when he crashes into one of them, they're all done. Like, he crashes into them, and all the guys are out
cold. Unconscious.
Yeah, and they kept doing that. They kept going, all right, now let's, this is, fairly standard action stuff. Let's take it that extra Bond level. Like, even Skyfall, who was a movie that people said, oh, this is like a drama. This isn't like an action movie at all. It still had, Javier Bardem crashing a subway train into a sewer and chasing James Bond with it.
Yeah.
You know, it had them blow up, half of London. The beginning of Skyfall, James Bond is driving a motorcycle on rooftops.
Yeah.
And then he grabs a crane on a train and starts eating the train with the crane. And then he gets shot. And falls into the river.
Yeah.
That's like the beginning of Skyfall, which people consider to be a very down-to-earth dramatic Bond. This doesn't do anything nearly as close to
that. Yeah, because I think that was, I was frustrated with, the helicopter thing being silly, and then nothing overtly, clever being done. And then I thought, how realistic do I need this to be? Because him on the bulldozer tearing apart the train, that's just as silly, but at least it's cool, it's clever, we hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, well, Bond is a superhero.
Yeah.
And Bond is a superhero for a high school student. And that's what those movies, ultimately, when they're great, that's the button they're hitting. Was Bond is there for, you're a kid that's super into Batman.
Yeah.
Now you're 14, 15, and you go, well, you know, I guess it doesn't make that much sense for a guy to run around in a suit like that. Yeah, I guess it's kind of a fantasy. You start not believing in Batman.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here comes James Bond, who's Batman, except he looks cool, he dresses cool.
Drives a cool car.
He drives a cool car that you could see in the world, not a Batmobile.
Yeah.
And he drinks a lot and has sex. That's where you've moved up the level.
Right.
Where you're like, I want to drink a lot and have sex. When I was 10, I didn't.
Yeah.
And Batman was fine.
Batman was cool.
But now Bond is here and yes.
And he's way cooler.
He's way cooler. But the action is still kind of on that Batman level, maybe a little more grounded.
Yeah.
And this was just kind of like, this wasn't even like John McClane action.
Yeah, I mean, the car chase in Rome, and then he crashes into the thing. It was like, wow, he crashed in the river.
That was a perfect example. That car chase started to get cool. He's driving along the canals. He's being chased by Drax.
Yeah.
Who was great casting. And they're up on the walls, and then he's trying all the buttons in the cars, and some of them, the ammunition's not loaded, and nothing's happening. And then, finally, fire comes out of the car, and I go, here we go. So he sets the car on fire, so the car stops to put out the fire. And then he hits the ejector seat, and the car just sinks into the canal. And that's the end of that. It's where they couldn't come up with a closure.
Didn't he drive, a tank in one of the movies?
I mentioned that when I was going, I saw it with my wife, and we were going home, and I'm like, when he was driving that car, or the airplane, I expected it to be Pierce Brosnan stole a tank and drove it through, all of Leningrad to chase a car.
Yeah.
And, it's still like, yes, it's crazy, but it's still like somewhat believable. It's just enough over the top. And this, I think with Daniel Craig being Bond, since he's so the serious Bond, that they're afraid to push it to a cartoony level. Because the James Bond movies, where they usually fall apart, is by the fourth movie with each James Bond, that's where they start getting crazy. Like the fourth, Connery is Thunderball, which starts getting wacky, and then from there you go to You Only Live Twice, where that's the era that Austin Powers picks to make fun of, with trapdoors and, you know, guys stroking cats and,
yeah,
and, you know, and
then
missiles. And then Roger Moore's, by the time, his fourth movie is Moonraker.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, like, this movie is kind of like, I don't know if they're trying to, like, reference a lot of, like, old James Bond stuff, but, like, then the bad guy is, like, wearing the weird clothes that, like, isn't part of his culture. Like, he's a white guy, but he's wearing, like,
the Nehru jacket?
Yeah, like, a weird non-white guy jacket. And then he's got, like, a little cat. And then, like, later he gets, like, a scar across his eye. And it's like, are we kidding with this? Like, they had a perfect dude play a Bond villain, like, a creepy guy.
Well, they had Christoph Waltz, who's
phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Between Inglourious Basterds and Django, his Tarantino films.
Yeah. He's a great actor.
He's a great actor who can play villainy with just, like, a very...
charming.
Yeah, he plays a charming, warm villainy that is unlike anybody. So when they announced him as a Bond villain, I'm like, this is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
We had Javier Bardem in the last one, who was amazing.
Yeah, he's probably, like, one of the best Bond villains they've had.
He was, like, oily and gay and, you know, just got in your way too close to you. And I was like, this is going to be phenomenal. And then, as I said, then Drax is the henchman. And then the guy plays Moriarty in Sherlock is in it. And I'm like, he's a great villain on that. I was like, this is going to be fantastic. And they don't let any of them really do anything. And Christoph Waltz, they pull him back so much that he doesn't really get to play villain. And then what they do is they reveal that, here's a big spoiler. As we said, the spoilers warned. But he has, like, this other name, and then he's decided, well, no, I've decided to call myself Blofeld, who's the Dr. Doom of James Bond. You know, who is he was Donald Pleasance in You Only Live Twice, which is where the scar comes from.
So he was supposed to be, like, another character?
They were rebooting the villain the way they rebooted Bond in Casino Royale. They were rebooting Spectre, which is the Hydra of Bond, and Blofeld, who's the head of Hydra. Blofeld's been in a bunch of them. I think he's been mentioned in a few things, but I know the big one is Donald Pleasance. That's the one that looked like Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
The one in Japan, where he's got the bald head, he's got the scar in the eye, he's got the gray Nero jacket, and he's stroking the cat.
So that's why, yeah.
So they just started throwing in that stuff. It was like, oh, there's a cat in there. That's a reference. Oh, in the same way the Aston Martin was a reference in Skyfall.
Yeah.
And then when he blows up, and the building just blows up, I thought it might have been the end of the movie, because I was like,
that's what I thought. I thought that was like the movie's over.
Yeah, because I was like, everything in this movie's been underwhelming.
Yeah,
I was underwhelmed by that.
So I figure this is
the end. So I figure he's not coming back. He does come back, but then he comes back with the Donald Pleasance Dr. Evil scar. So they were trying to, like, kind of ring that bell. But then also, like, he didn't seem to have much of a plan. It was like they've been building up Spectre since Casino Royale.
Now, hang on a second, though. Have they, though?
They've been hinting at it. Quantum of Solace, everybody thought was going to be the Spectre movie. And then they said, oh, it's Quantum. And they were like, wait, what? And then they mentioned Spectre in Quantum of Solace. And
yeah,
so everybody then thought, all right, that's a tease. It's very forgettable. But that's another,
all right, well, what about
that's another problem with this movie. Skyfall. Is a lot of this movie is the sequel to Quantum of Solace.
But
Skyfall was a separate thing.
They mention nothing about this. There's no hints in Skyfall, right?
No, but in this they mentioned. In this they said that, like, Spectre's behind everything. So
yeah.
Every villain in the Daniel Craig era was working for Spectre, including Javier Bardem.
But did it look like that at the time? It didn't look like all these guys were working for. And that's the problem, is like they try to, like, retcon it and be like, oh yeah, this whole time everyone's been working for this guy we never mentioned. And it's like, coming from the outside of, like, not being super, like, a f- I don't mind James Bond, but I'm not into it. I couldn't name all these movies. I've seen them, but I, you know, they all kind of blend together. I was like, wait, you're going to try to tell me that Javier Bardem's character or whatever from Skyfall was working for this guy when he had great motivation to do...
Right, when he was like this rogue agent.
Yeah, but that was fine.
They were saying that like when he went rogue, he joined Spectre.
That's dumb.
I know. And you know, I'm probably a bigger Bond fan than you. I love Bond, but I don't know all the details of it very well. Like, I'm kind of like you. I know Bond in the way I know the classic Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah, I know in when this guy was Bond, these things happen. And you have
a better idea of the structure.
If you tell me the name of a movie, I go, oh, that's the one where this guy's the villain or there's that set piece. But I'm not, I don't drill down to like, oh, he has the Aston Martin DB3 and Goldfinger and he has the DB5. Like, I'm scrambling a little to tell you which appearances Blofeld's in. But Blofeld does appear in several of the Connerys. Diamonds Are Forever, he's played by a different actor, but I think they give him a different first name. It's like another member of the Blofeld family coming after him. And then in the opening sequence of, I think it's Spy Love Me, Roger Moore, he kills Blofeld. That's a guy who's in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
They never show him and he picks him up with a helicopter and dumps him into chimney.
Yeah.
That's Blofeld.
All right, that's
And memorable. I think that's the last time you see Blofeld in Bond. But now that we rebooted with Casino Royale, oh, we can bring in these characters again because we rebooted those guys again.
Yeah, and that's great and fine. But like...
But not this way.
Yeah, it's just kind of like if this is your big Hydra and it's just like, oh yeah, they're all kind of dopes. Like they all, it's just like, there wasn't anything to it. It was like,
You feel like if they were building up to Spectre through these movies, this would have been huge. Like,
it would have been
like Christoph Waltz been like, all right, we're attacking now. And, you know, London is in flames or like, you know. People just blow it. It was supposed to be bigger than what Javier Bardem did in Skyfall, and it was so much smaller.
Yeah, what he was doing seemed so much. He seemed much more dangerous than this guy because this guy was like, "Well, we're gonna monitor everybody, and we caused a terrorist attack in South Africa to get them to vote for the surveillance program thing." And it was like,
but it wasn't the big plan. It was all like steps of the plan. Where
I don't even really know where they were going. Oh, surveillance on everybody? Like the government's already doing that. Good job. Like,
right?
What's your big evil plan?
Well, like the threat was all the information on everybody is now in the hands of terrorists. It's like, okay, that's scary, but that seemed to be kind of a sub plan. Like it for it to be a real Bond movie, it was like, okay, the Moriarty was, you know, was this basically the side
Weasley office,
the
guy.
Weasley office guy who's taking over from within.
Yeah.
And you know, they give M a lot to do in this. They give Refines a lot to do in this.
Yeah.
Because of that. And that plot works as a B plot. But then like the Christoph Waltz Bond plot, the A plot doesn't really.
He like hooked
go
him up
anywhere.
To this weird torture chair, and he's like, "I'm gonna
drill
in
your
you.
Head," and then he's like, "I'm gonna turn off your equilibrium." But nothing really happens
then
other
like,
than he drills because Bond like breaks out of that chair and then runs,
and he's fine. And then he's like, "Well, I'm gonna drill."
I thought he was gonna collapse.
That's what I thought. We were gonna see some like because he's like, "I'm gonna be the man in your head, and I'm gonna do all this psychological." Thought we were gonna like he was gonna make Bond like trip out and
like
freak him
out, like a Manchurian candidate kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like
and then he's like, "We're gonna go in your mind and erase your memories, so this girl that you're all of a sudden in love with, I guess."
And this girl,
which was so dumb because she was just a boring girl,
right? And it's like she was for. I don't know how a girl like that becomes a Bond girl. Yeah. Nothing particularly wrong with her, but like Bond girls are supposed to be like
otherworldly
hot.
Yeah.
You know, like the ones that have had.
This was like a girl I probably wouldn't look twice at walking down the street. I'd be like, girl.
This is a girl I'm not sure why she's in a movie.
Yeah.
Much less a Bond girl. You know, like you want to make her. Christina Applegate's friend in a movie? Okay, I get that.
Sure.
But like a Bond girl? Like Monica Bellucci 10 years ago was the ultimate Bond girl. And now she's like an older girl and then she's in this for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And by the way, never comes back. Because like Bond kills the guys that are going to kill her.
Yeah.
Then he has sex with her and then he's like, get to the embassy, I'll protect you. And I'm like, oh, this girl's dead.
Yeah.
But then she's just out of the movie.
Never shows up again. Never even mentioned again.
No, doesn't come back to help him. Doesn't have more information.
So it's kind of like, what was even the point of it other than the shoehorn like Monica Bellucci in this movie?
Other than in a Bond movie, you always have like a girl early who's not the main girl.
Yeah, I guess. You know? And it's like, it just seemed like, I don't know if the script for this movie wasn't finished or if like
they've been working on it for a while and they had the guy, and I was looking at the script credits and it's like, the two guys that have been working on most of these movies, most of these Bond movies tend to be these two guys who do a draft and then they kind of come in later. Like they go get somebody to write a Bond movie. And then they have these two guys that are very involved with the production to go, oh, okay, well, let's make it more in canon. Let's make more. And they worked on this. And I think John Logan did a draft on this and he wrote Skyfall.
Yeah.
It was like they had most of the team that did Skyfall because it did so well. And I felt like nobody that did Skyfall wanted to make another movie. Like, maybe they all looked at that and thought, this movie's so great, what's the point? You know, it's like, where do we go from Skyfall? Just kind of do the same thing.
And it's kind of...
everything in this movie was uninspired.
Nothing. It just seemed like I said, at the end of the movie, they're like, you're like, all right, you're going to quit being James Bond because this girl talked to you for 10 minutes and was like, is this what you want to be doing? Like, no one's ever asked James Bond if this is the life he wants. And then he's just like, yeah, totally, girl I just met who I apparently have completely fallen in love with for no reason. We're going to go leave. I'm going to quit my job and we're going to go be like people in the world, like regular. And it's like, so at the end of this movie, he leaves with this girl and he's like, I'm not James Bond anymore. And he steals the car.
Right.
And then they leave.
And that's another thing is, of the four Daniel Craig movies, have we ever seen Daniel Craig actually want to be 007 ever?
Yeah.
Like, in the first film, he's green and he doesn't know what he's doing. And then the second film, he's just, like, trying to avenge Eva Green's death and gets wrapped up in that whole quantum. And then the third movie, they say he gets shot and they say he's old now. And I'm like, old? This is his third movie.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you're old, you can't do it anymore, you gotta go. And then in this movie, they're like, there's not gonna be 00 anybody's anymore. And then he quits, and I'm like, we never saw this guy ever want to be Bond.
Yeah.
We never saw him go like, yes, I want to kill this guy who's threatening the world. Or
yeah.
I have to stop this plan. He's never, like, he's never wanted to do it.
How many more is he doing?
I mean,
after if this one
I've
bombs.
I've heard conflicting reports. I've heard that he was contracted to 5, but then I've heard this is his last one and that he really doesn't want to do another one. And
it didn't look like he...
He didn't look like he wanted to do it. It wasn't as bad as, like, Roger Moore in View to a Kill.
Yeah.
Like, where he's clearly just old.
Just phoning it in.
I had a friend of mine who gave me the best advice about View to a Kill ever. He goes, if you watch that movie, Roger Moore never runs.
At all.
He always takes a step in a frame when he's supposed to be running. There's a scene in View to a Kill where he chases an assassin up the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
And they just repeat the same shot of him reaching a landing.
It's the same exact shot?
Pretty much. It's the same exact landing.
Yeah.
Let's say, maybe he did it 5 different ways.
Right.
but clearly this guy cannot and nor does he want to be James Bond anymore.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig's not at that point yet.
Yeah, it didn't seem like so out of place. It just seemed
like
no one was interested in making this movie.
No, nobody. I felt like nobody involved with who he was into it. It had a lot of money.
Yeah,
but it was like, I feel like they just sat around a table going, "So what else does James Bond do? He has a car that shoots fire." Okay,
yeah. This movie is like
it was all note cards of
James Bond. Helicopter, crash an airplane, crash a train, crash a boat, crash a car. Like, he crashes like every vehicle.
But he crashes them kind of how they crash. It's not like
he
doesn't churn it into a cannonball which then rolls down the mountain and crushes the bad guys. It's never this clever. He has no one-liners at all. At all. Like,
yeah.
I was watching moments where there's a setup for one-liner, and I'm thinking, okay, this is the one-liner I would use. And he doesn't use any.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the plot is just, he just goes from one to another to another. Again, I don't know why the girl is important, because he goes to this guy who I don't remember. The guy who's like living alone and hiding.
Who, yeah, who is that supposed to be?
I think, and I haven't watched Quantum of Solace again since last night, but I think he's one of the villains in that because they kept showing pictures of a Mr. White.
Yeah.
And they kept saying, oh, you know him. And I think they were trying to make you go, oh, yeah, the guy from Quantum of Solace. But nobody fucking remembers this movie.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about it.
Also, it's making me realize that Daniel Craig has made 4 Bond movies, but he's been Bond for almost 10 years.
It's been, yeah.
I believe Casino Royale is 2006. And then Quantum of Solace was 2008.
And Skyfall was, what, 3 years ago?
No, yeah, 2012. Like, there was a good pause between Quantum of Solace and Skyfall because Quantum of Solace didn't do well.
Yeah.
So he's been Bond for a while, but, you know, the big problem of this movie is that it's so much a sequel to the movie no one remembers.
And, like,
that, like, it's just tying itself to mud at this point. And
what would possess them to make a sequel to a movie that did so bad that it took them years to come out with the next one?
I think they've been promising people that they were going to get to Spectre for the longest time, in the same way that like Spider-Man 3 has Harry be the Green Goblin for like 5 minutes and then not the Green Goblin,
yeah,
was because they put all these threads in 1 and 2 that Harry was going to be the Goblin after Norman. And then in Spider-Man 3, they're like, yeah, I guess Harry has to be the Goblin now, but really what we want to do is Sandman and Venom. You know, so like...
He didn't even want to do Venom.
No, the studio wanted to do Venom. He wanted to do Sandman, and then they were like, oh shit, the Goblin.
Don't forget.
I feel like this whole movie was James Franco as the Green Goblin. Of like, oh, damn it, we were supposed to do Spectre. Oh, Daniel Craig's got to do one more. All right, well, it's got to be Spectre then, I guess. And like, oh, who can we get? Christoph Waltz is a good villain. We should just get him. But it's like I said, I feel like this movie was made on a bulletin board with note cards.
Yeah.
Like, what else does Bond do? He bangs a girl in the middle, and then he bangs a girl at the end. And then he, you know, he quits being Bond, or he gets fired from being Bond.
Yeah.
This movie opens with him being suspended and ends with him quitting. It's a James Bond movie. At no point is he like James Bond. In fact, the opening, that whole Mexico City thing, was like, M is like, you weren't supposed to do that.
Well,
I was like, when in this movie does James Bond do something as 007
that he's supposed to do?
At all!
And even like the last movie, Skyfall ends, you know, they've got the new office. Here's Miss Moneypenny. Like, they set it up like the next movie will be the first movie as him as James Bond.
And it, like I said, it opens with him getting fired from being James Bond and then quitting James Bond. And then in the middle of it, it's like, let's just not have James Bond at all anymore. Let's just shut it all down and just have the CIA in London.
I just don't get why there's nothing in this movie that even resembles a plot. Like,
no.
And it's, like you said, it's all these talented guys. It's all these people that worked on the last movie.
They had all the right pieces. And, you know, I still love Skyfall. I watched it not that long ago. I watched it within the last 6 months. And I'm like, man, this is a great James Bond movie. And James Bond movies are so of themselves now. It's not fair to compare them to anything else. Like, you can't say, I like Die Hard more than James Bond. It's like apples and oranges, even though they're action movies.
Yeah.
You know, I like Star Wars more than James Bond. If you're into James Bond, which we both are.
Yeah.
Like, we're both fans of James Bond.
Yes, I wanted to see this movie.
Yeah, we're not, it's not the center of our lives. I mean, you know, you like Avengers more, I like Batman more. But we both love Bond, that you have to compare it just to other Bonds. Yeah, we've seen all of them. There are some really... I think Roger Moore made worse movies than Pierce Brosnan even did.
Yes.
But like, this even compared to itself was like, eh.
So, like, this movie, we don't know yet because it's... I mean, this is Saturday night.
It's Saturday night. We don't know how it's going to do at the box office. I think it's going to win the weekend. The only other...
Yeah.
I mean, the only competition that came out this weekend was Peanuts, which I also saw. And there was some debate about, hey, should we do a Peanuts podcast this week? Or should we do a James Bond podcast this week? Because they're both very applicable to comics.
Yeah.
And they're both big this weekend. And then it turned out you haven't seen Peanuts. So I was like, all right.
Bond it is.
You know, if maybe we'll talk about it later or another episode. But that's the only competition. That's a totally different demographic.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's nothing else out right now to compete with it. But it's like, if it bombs, they don't do another one. Like, how long before we get another James Bond movie that's going to be good? Because it's like, the time between the last Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig's movie was, like, what, 8 years?
No, it wasn't that long. It was like 4 years. Die Another Day is 2002.
Oh, my God. He was James Bond in the 2000s?
Yeah, well, he started in 95, so he wasn't that long. It was like 8 years.
Yeah.
And he made four. The problem with Brosnan is I still love GoldenEye. I watch it.
Oh,
now.
GoldenEye's my favorite. Yeah.
I watch it now. It does feel a little 90s. It's sure. A little bit dated, but I still love that. The problem was he made a great movie his first time out, and everybody wanted him to be James Bond so damn much. I think everyone knows his story, but for whoever doesn't, he was supposed to be Bond instead of Timothy Dalton. And he was on the show Remington Steele at the time, where he was basically playing James Bond every week.
Yeah.
And everybody thought he'd be great James Bond. He wanted to be James Bond. They made the deal. And then NBC found out he was James Bond and said, oh, the ratings of our show will go up because we have James Bond on our show. And renewed the show after canceling it. And that wiped out his schedule. So he actually couldn't shoot James Bond because he had to appear on the show that was renewed only because he was James Bond.
Yeah.
He was screwed worse than probably anyone in the 80s.
Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah, this is what happened to Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
So then Timothy Dalton made two movies. First one's interesting. Second one is an episode of Miami Vice for some reason. That's one of the worst movies, License to Kill. And it came out against Batman, so good luck with that.
Yeah.
And that was a big break because that's 1989. And then, so they decided to go back, and they went back to Brosnan. GoldenEye comes out in 95. Everybody's super excited because of this story. They're like, oh, we wanted him to be James Bond. Then he was James Bond, and we didn't get to see it. Now he really is. And then that movie's great.
Yeah.
And I believe Guy Hamilton directed GoldenEye, and he directed Goldfinger, and like the best Bond guy.
Yeah.
And then... Then he made three more movies, and each one was worse than the last.
Yeah.
They were just like, the second one was boring, which had like...
Terry Hatcher,
yeah. And Jonathan Pryce was the villain. And then the third one had Denise Richards as a nuclear physicist.
I'm trying to remember.
And the guy from...
The
guy from Trainspotting was the villain, Robert Carlyle.
Didn't Halle Berry do a Bond?
She's in that... That last one with Madonna and the guy with diamonds in his face. That one's wretched. And then they got rid of him, rebooted everything with Daniel Craig. They made this movie that was great. Then they totally screwed it up with Quantum of Solace. And so they had to take a long time, come back with Skyfall. And now they've totally screwed it up again.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. It's like there's so many examples of how it doesn't work. It's right. Staggering that they keep finding more examples.
And it's the same team who's made 25 of these things.
Yeah. And it's like they haven't figured out the formula yet. It's like,
yeah, it's, but the problem is this makes the opposite mistake that Bond always makes is that they start off every Bond's first film is pretty down to earth. And it's usually really good. You know, Sean Connery's Dr. No. People really like Live and Let Die with Roger Moore. I think it's a crazy blaxploitation movie.
Is that the one where he fights like the...
He fights a lot of black people. That's basically what he does.
Doesn't he go to like New Orleans,
yes,
and get involved in like voodoo stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, with the guy with the big hat.
The big hat. That guy ended up being like a pitchman for 7-Up in the 80s.
That's awesome.
He had like this really huge campaign in the 80s where he's like, drink 7-Up. Wah! People are like, wasn't that guy in a Bond movie 10 years ago?
That's incredible.
And then Timothy Dalton's first one is Living Daylights, which is a good one. And then Brosnan's is GoldenEye. And Craig's is Casino Royale. All really good movies.
Yeah.
And then they tend to the second ones, like they don't quite know what to do, but it's still interesting. And running through that, you know, Connery's from Russia with Love, which is also really good, but not as good as Goldfinger, which comes next.
Yeah.
Roger Moore made the movie that we based this entire podcast on next, The Man with the Golden Gun.
Yes.
The Man with the Golden Gun stars Christopher Lee as the villain. So yep. You think, gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be great.
But then it also stars Hervé Villechaize, Tattoo from Fantasy Island, as just a psychopath. As a 3-foot psychopath that at the end jumps out of like a cabinet on a boat to kill him. And also has the greatest Bond scene ever, which we watched in the store. And I think when we hit upon this, we said, we need to record us talking to each other.
Yes.
There is a scene in The Man with the Golden Gun where Bond makes out with a woman on top of another woman.
But didn't he, like, put the one woman in, like, the closet or then, like, pulled her out or, like, and then, like, it does something else?
So the girl in it, I think it's Elkie Summers, is, like, a young double O agent who's stupid. At one point, she tries to get out of the trunk of a flying car.
Yeah.
We're not making any of this up. And then, so there's a scene where she's in the hotel room, she's trying to make out with James Bond, and then there's a knock at the door, and it's like the bad girl that he's trying to get information from. He's like, oh, darling, I have to get information from her. And he just takes a comforter and throws it on her.
And she's, like, clearly on the bed, and there's clearly a person under the blanket. Like
unless this bed had, like, 5 comforters that got rolled up.
Yeah.
Because sometimes my wife tends to go on a lot of business trips, and I'll wake up in the morning, and then the bed will be all lumpy because just all the blankets got kicked over.
Yeah.
Hotels don't give you that many blankets.
There's not that many.
But they make out on top of her, and then she goes to the bathroom, and Roger Moore's like, oh, you have to hide in the closet. And she just goes and does it.
Yeah.
That's one of the craziest movies ever. Then Timothy Dalton's second movie is the Miami Vice movie, where he just gets fired after that.
Yeah.
It's not even a James Bond movie. He's just trying to stop drug dealers in Florida.
Because that's James Bond's job.
Yeah. And then Craig's was Quantum of Solace. Brosnan's, like I said, Brosnan's was the Terry Hatcher one, which is kind of boring. But usually they come back in the third one. Goldfinger, Skyfall. Timothy Dalton didn't get one.
Yeah.
But then Brosnan made an even worse one, the Denise Richards
but
one.
But then he made a worse one after that.
Yeah, he's the only one that just goes downhill. And of course, we're forgetting George Lazenby, who did one.
People
that are like really into the Ian Fleming novels consider it one of the greatest Bond movies. I consider it incredibly boring.
Yeah, I don't even. I remember seeing it, but yeah, I don't remember
Her Majesty's
much else
Secret
about it.
Service. Is that one. That's the one where he's in like the ski resort, and there's like 8 women that are trying to sleep with him.
Yeah, anything with like into his ski room. Resort, I kind of like. I don't know. Fall asleep. Skiing got really big, and I got. I don't.
That's
know,
a really good point. Eventually, every Bond skis, and it's never good.
Yeah.
Because, like, Roger Moore skis in For Your Eyes Only, and that one's not good. And then there's the whole Ice Palace in Die Another Day. Bond doesn't work well in snow. There's a lot of snow in this. Like, he's in Austria, he doesn't ski, but he
skis with that boat?
Snow.
Or the plane skis down that mountain.
Yeah, a ski plane, because it has no wings anymore. It's just... Nobody's having any fun with this.
It just, and it's, you know, they did all the things, like you said, formulaically, they were like, all right, well, he's got to travel. So we went to Mexico, we went to Austria, we went to all these other places, and it's like, great, but why?
They're just checking boxes.
Yeah.
And you know what, which is actually a lot like Peanuts today. I took Ben to Peanuts today, and Peanuts did the same thing, where it was like, so clear, it has the barest plot ever. In fact, the plot of Peanuts is just Charlie Brown's in love with a little red-haired girl and doesn't know how to get her attention.
Yeah.
And that's a plot from the comics.
Yeah.
And then they just hang everything on that thread that Peanuts does. It was like, he wants to ask her to a dance. So then they go to the dance, and everybody's doing, the kid's doing the Frankenstein dance, and the girl's doing the back and head forth dance, and they're playing the Linus and Lucy jazz music, and then he doesn't know how to get the girl's attention, so he goes and sees Lucy at the psychiatrist booth, and then he's working on a paper for school to impress her, and then Snoopy sees him writing a story, so he starts thinking about a story about chasing the Red Baron, and everything that Peanuts does is in this. Schroeder's playing a piano. Linus has got his blanket.
The football thing.
Yeah, the football thing is in it. Charlie Brown pitches a baseball and it knocks all his clothes off. And all of the character designs are... I thought it was beautiful, by the way, because when I saw the first teaser trailer, they managed to do a 3D CG type model, but it looks just like the comic strip. And there are sequences in it where they have a fantasy and then they do 2D black and white animation. They don't even color it. It doesn't even look like the old TV specials. It looks like the comic strip moving.
Yeah.
Coming to life. It was really beautiful, but not the greatest movie ever. Like, not a classic, but entertaining. And you could tell that everybody involved in Peanuts loved Charlie Brown and wanted to do that. Like the same meeting, everybody's raising their hand and going, can we do Snoopy as the Red Baron?
Yeah.
Can Woodstock... can there be a bunch of Woodstocks that help him out? Can we show, like, all of Snoopy's cousin, like the one that lives by the cactus and a girl? And, you know, can we do stuff with Pigpen? How do we do the cloud around Pigpen? Can Sally call Linus for Sweet Babu? Like you could tell they were excited to do all these things. They don't cover any new ground.
Right.
But they were excited to do this. I felt like this did the same thing. But they weren't excited.
Yeah.
They're like, Bond fights in a helicopter, and he fights on a boat, and he's got a car, and he makes out with girls. And
it's like the most interesting fight was like the train fight with Batista, where he like fights Batista on a train. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a great Bond fight, but it was like, all right, well, at least he's wrecking stuff, and he can't beat this huge guy. And then it's like...
And it was another one that was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Because they build up, and I go, now it's going to get really great, and they just knock him off the train.
Yeah.
And it's, like, slightly clever in a way they do it, but it's not big.
Nothing, yeah. No, like, pizzazz.
Yeah, the most interesting thing I think they did was create the team of Q, M, and Moneypenny. They had a lot to do in this movie, and I kind of liked that.
Yeah.
Was they were carrying that whole B plot about the surveillance. But, that was the most interesting thing because it seemed like they wanted to be there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you get hired as Q, you figure you have one scene in a Bond movie.
Yeah.
Where you go, here are your weapons. So for them to be more involved was really interesting. There's a scene where Q shows up at the ski resort and then he's chased by some guys, which again, really interesting. And then they build the tension really well. Like he's trying to get off the ski lift. Like the cable car, and they don't let him off, but then all these girls come on, and I'm like, what is this fight going to be with all these innocent people in the way?
Yeah.
And then he just gets off and hides in a staircase.
Yeah.
Like, well, he literally just gets out and hides in a staircase. And then, like, he comes back 5 minutes later, and he's just on this computer. I'm like, wait, they didn't find you in a staircase?
Nothing.
Like, they didn't chase you down a mountain? It's like, this movie went halfway with every Bond formula and then gave up.
Yeah, and like I said, for the life of me, I can't figure out, you know, we've talked before, like, oh, who's going to do Bond after Daniel Craig? Like, how many more movies does he have? Mm-hmm. If this one bombs, this is his last one, and it's like, how long before these guys, like, pick a new Bond? Or are they going to make him try to do another one? Are we gonna...
They'll definitely do another one. I mean, the Broccolis, this is all they've got, and these always make money. This will make money. It'll be number one this weekend.
Yeah.
But when, basically, no matter...
Because I guess this, like, script leaked online.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Well, people were very excited because Skyfall was so good. They're never going to stop making James Bond movies.
Oh, agreed. But it's more of like, how long are we going to have to wait until, like, if they reboot it, how long is that going to take?
Right.
They already said they're not going to take Idris Elba because he's a black guy and Ian Fleming's apparently a racist.
Yeah, no. Well, see, I've heard all that in the controversy. Problem was they asked Roger Moore, who's like 87, who they think Bond should be. And he's like, a British man who's handsome. And people are like, boo!
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I don't think Bond should be gay or black or a woman. I think he should be Bond. And he's like, guys, how old is Roger Moore?
Yeah, I think what Bill Burr's got that joke where he's like, you can just live too long, you know, where it's just like, yeah, you're 87, you know, no one's going to change your mind about anything at this point in your life. And
oh, we were talking about that last week about how you get conservatives as you get older because it's all about preserving the things you did. Because you get to an age where you're probably not going to change the world anymore.
Right.
So you lean back on, well, here's the things I change. And you want them to last. Even if they're racist and misogynist and bad for the environment.
But I just think...
But it's like this guy was James Bond and he wants James Bond to be what he was in the 70s. How about this? How about we don't ask an actor from 30 years ago what he wants to do with a franchise in the next 10 years?
Yeah, when he might die in the next 10 days,
yeah,
you know?
Nobody asked Sean Connery, and I think that was a good idea.
Yeah.
To not ask Sean Connery.
Probably doesn't have a very progressive point of view about it.
No, he didn't then.
Yeah, but that's what I think. It's like, you know, all right, so Daniel Craig's days are probably numbered. Because, like, if he doesn't want to do it, like, can't they just get him out of the contract? Be like, all right, you're It's not working, dude.
I've seen conflicting reports, but I heard that this was the end of his contract, and he basically said he would do another one if they paid him a lot more.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you could get Idris Elba for cheaper. And I've seen a lot of names floated around, but Idris Elba has so much traction behind it that they're going to have to address why they're not doing it. I mean, you know.
Oh, you think if they don't do it, they'll have
I think if they don't do it, they have to say, yeah, this is why we didn't pick Idris Elba. Like, he wanted too much money, or he didn't really want to do it, or... And you know, Idris Elba is not that much younger than Daniel Craig. So how many movies are you going to get out of him?
Nah, I don't know. Look at Robert Downey Jr. though. How many times is he going to be Iron Man? You know,
well,
what
he
mean?
Doesn't want to be Iron Man anymore. That's the point. He wants to be Tony Stark and in Avengers HQ and quipping at people. But he doesn't want to, you know, Iron Man 3 broke him in a lot of ways because Shane Black was like, how about you're Tony Stark and you're jumping 20 feet off girders while things are exploding and you're not in a suit. And he's like, this hurts.
Yeah.
So... You know, I mean, Bruce Campbell has been talking about that with Ash vs. Evil Dead, about how, like, doing the TV show hurts much more than doing the movies when he was in his 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Which was also amazing. I think...
I've heard it's awesome.
It's great. The first episode of Ash vs. Evil Dead, if you are a fan of the Sam Raimi movies, you absolutely should be watching it. The first one is streaming. We put it on our Facebook page. And I think we're talking to some people now about coming on to talk about just Evil Dead in general.
Yeah.
But there were so many things this week. I mean, Ash vs. Evil Dead was on Halloween, and we had two big movies. So we kind of had to choose, and we chose the one that we're both like, bah.
Yeah, well, the one thing we had both seen. I don't have I can't really go afford to see two movies in a weekend.
Yeah, So where would you rank this? As we said, if you can only measure a Bond film by another Bond film, is this one of the worst?
No, because it underwhelmed. It didn't overwhelm, like, with its absurdity. Like, I think as long as it's, you know, the helicopter flying upside down was a little ridiculous and some of the other stuff, you know, wasn't great. Like you said, it was very underwhelming, but it wasn't so over the top ridiculous that I don't think they couldn't do another one with Daniel Craig or without reboot.
This wasn't stupid.
Yes, and I'll give you that.
That was my first.
It wasn't smart, but it wasn't stupid.
Like
the Pierce Brosnan ones, I remember, like the first one I really like, and they get dumber and dumber and dumber, and it's like they just find. Depths of stupidity.
Well, they keep trying to top themselves because they keep going, oh, well, we had Pierce Brosnan chase a car with a tank in the last one. So now he's got to have an invisible car.
Yeah.
And it's like, because that's bigger than it. And they top each other with each movie to the point where it's just like, you can't even accept it by cartoon standards.
Yeah.
This isn't doing that. What this is. This is trying so hard not to do that. That they're like, oh, no, keep it believable. That they're like, you can see them kind of like pulling back.
Yeah, it's like they're policing themselves to a degree where it's like they're just crushing any kind of like creativity or anything interesting that could have developed. It was just like nothing. There wasn't any like wow moment. Like nothing really jumped out at you. It's like, ah, all right, there's a... plane crash and he's fighting the guy in the train now and the guy's got silver fingernails or something. I guess that's like his thing.
Yeah, but they didn't really call attention to any of it. This movie was no fun. That's how I feel about it. Even when there's a bomb that's going to blow up a whole building and he's on like the ninth floor and I'm like, oh, they're going to jump into the river. And they jump into a hole into a net that's already there.
Yeah.
I'm like, where was this? And did he set up a net? What the?
We like looked up, and I think he saw it in like a previous scene. But then, like, I don't know. And it like the same thing where it was. Like,
yeah, he looked up and saw a net.
You go to this like big finale, and he's gonna go into this building. It's the old headquarters for James Bond that was destroyed in the last movie, and then the guy's there, and he's behind this like glass thing, and then. He gets in like a helicopter, and instead of like leaving, he just kind of like hovers to like watch
him blow up. And then James Bond shoots the helicopter with his gun, and then it just crashes into the road. And then he crawls on the road, and they arrest him.
Yeah, he's in jail, so maybe the next movie breaks out, and we can get like a decent.
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen.
Christopher Waltz villainism in a movie.
I don't think that's going to happen at all.
It just sucks because like they had this great actor play this villain that was just kind of like. I'm just going to say a bunch of things and lock you in this weird chair. I'm going to torture you in, and here's my cat for no reason. And it's like...
Yeah,
in the middle of the, like, the stuff, like, it was interesting, like, his base is, like, a crater in a movie, and then, and like, the desert, and then he's got, like, a meteor from, like, that made the crater. He's like, that was interesting. But
and then
it's
they,
like,
just blow it up and leave.
And then they just blew this thing up and left, and it was like, how did the whole base blow up again? Like, but they weren't rigged for explosives. Like, how did the base even explode?
Because the watch blew up.
One little watch. One little watch bulb, but I thought it was like a sonic
I think it
weapon.
Had like...
Did you think it was a bomb?
I thought it was a bomb, yeah.
I thought it was like a sonic weapon. He said like...
Because he said this watch can get loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a bomb because that's usually what it does. It's like the pen in GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Give me the GoldenEye! See, that movie had like Alan Cumming chewing the scenery in a bad Russian accent.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, this movie was just... It's in the lower middle for me out of Bond movies because it's not stupid.
Yeah. I think, yeah, because
there's plenty of stupid Bond movies out there, as we've said. But this one's not that. This one's just lame.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really to get excited about. And it doesn't have the over-the-top, cartoony, you know, like you said, invisible...
And I think
I think you
actually need that more for Daniel Craig than you needed it for like Pierce Brosnan because he's so stone faced, which works for him. That like for Bond to be fun, that if Bond's not having any fun, if he's not walking through smirking and drinking martinis and being charming, like Roger Moore or Pierce Brosnan, like if he's not goofing it up or Connery later. Which Craig is never, ever going to do. I think we can agree on that. Then the action's got to be fun. And, like, Skyfall had fun action. Skyfall, he, like, punched a guy into, like, a Komodo dragon pit at one point.
Yeah.
You know, there's that fight where they're fighting in he's fighting an assassin in an empty building near, like, a big digital display that just looks gorgeous because the whole fight goes blue and then it goes red. And it's like... We don't have anything like that. Yeah. Everything's just so subdued. That's like the whole movie is just like, it's just one of those situations where like you come in expecting high energy and then you're doing everything you can do to get that energy up and it's just not happening.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, like you said, we had a lot of sequels, right? The big movies this year were all sequels Jurassic Park. The Avengers.
Oh, I saw Jurassic Park this week.
What'd you think?
I totally agree with you. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
In its absurdity.
It's very absurd.
And look, any sequel to Jurassic Park is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the whole franchise at all.
The first time the island, I'll give you one time. And then they're like, all right, close the park. It's not going to work. Then they went three more times. They went back to that island, try to like, no. The only thing that would happen is they'd napalm that entire island and just sterilize it.
Yeah, they just keep going back. Well, 2 and 3 are just a group of people go back to that island because they think they'll be fine with the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And then this one was like, no, we made it and it's way, way bigger. And
it's like the thing it was supposed to be.
And we decided to just make Godzilla. Because
people were bored.
People were bored of dinosaurs. And then the dinosaurs start talking to each other.
It was ridiculous. Did you see how they're like a buddy cop at the end with the raptor and the T-Rex and he puts a little light on his head?
Yes. Yep. I thought about you on this podcast telling me that when I watched the Blu-ray. I don't think we had a great movie for 2015 now that you mentioned it.
Well, that's what I guess I'm saying is, and I liked Avengers too.
I liked Avengers when I watched it again on Blu-ray. I'm like, yeah, it's not great. Ant-Man I thought was fun, but I'm not going to call it the best movie of the year. And now we're in, we still got Star Wars.
And I mean, it's like, it's our only hope.
Maybe that's one of the reasons people are so excited about Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we'll see what happens. But this has been a very underwhelming, like, it was very just like,
Yeah, even the stuff that I liked, like Inside Out was really good. But it was like, was it? Up or Toy Story?
Yeah.
No, it was a good Pixar movie, but it wasn't the best thing.
Yeah. Yeah, like we said, it's like Avengers 2, good movie, but it wasn't Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Ant-Man, good movie, but it wasn't Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like I just kept going to these movies this year, going like, kinda... well, this will be the one. Nah, it wasn't really. But, you know, not a whole lot of bombs. I mean, we avoided the bombs. We didn't see Fantastic Four.
I still want to see it. I just need to know what they tried.
I know I will. And I've had people call me out online and be like, you should see it. They don't have a lot of reasons to back it up. I'm going to see it because I love the Fantastic Four.
I'm going
to
see it
because I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah, that's my thinking. Maybe a dollar at like the Red Box.
Maybe it'll show up on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's leave with this last question because we're at an hour. We won't do Greatest Thing in the World because it's been a Bond podcast. What movie would you tell people, what Bond movie would you tell people to see instead of Spectre? Like, they're like, I'm thinking of going to see Spectre. You're like, you know what? Go home and watch.
Well, my favorite essay would be GoldenEye, but I think everyone who's listening's probably seen GoldenEye. I would say if you haven't seen Man with the Golden Gun, treat yourself and go see Man with the Golden Gun. You know, rent
There's
it.
There's a whole subplot about a third nipple in Man with the Golden Gun.
It's like, awesome.
People think that Roger Moore is Christopher Lee because he's undercover because he glued another nipple on his chest.
Yeah.
And he's walking around with his shirt off so people know.
So they would notice.
That's where this movie is. I've talked a lot about Skyfall, but you know what? My personal favorite is You Only Live Twice because, as I said before, it's got everything you think Bond is going to have, but it's not quite so ridiculous that you're laughing at it. That's the one where he goes to Japan.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But that's the one where Donald Pleasance is basically Dr. Evil with the scar and the cat. That's the one where there's a base inside a volcano that has a lever that's a self-destruct switch.
It's hard to watch in a post-Austin Powers. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I think that makes it more fun.
I saw it after Austin Powers, and like I knew what Austin Powers was doing, but I didn't necessarily... I hadn't seen You Only Live Twice.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, I get that, you know, Dr. Evil's supposed to be like a riff on like a goofy James Bond villain. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the
volcano. And then you found out exactly which one
it was. It's like almost like it's the same exact guy. Yeah.
Except he's doing Lorne Michaels' voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say You Only Live Twice. You want to see it because it's the first Bond movie where the henchmen disappoint him and he presses a button and the floor drops out and there's piranha.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
And yeah, it's literally the...
Yeah, there's also a whole subplot where they make Sean Connery Japanese by kind of pulling his eyes a little bit.
In a very offensive...
Very offensive. And then the woman that he's undercover with is just like, well, I guess you're my husband now, so I have to do anything you say. And he's like, all right.
It's uncomfortable.
Things that don't hold up. But I feel like that's a microcosm of what Bond meant in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, and really, Bond is... always kind of trying to be what it was in the 60s. It's not stuck in that period.
No, but a lot of like the architecture in this movie was very reminiscent of the 60s. The offices, the bad guys' headquarters.
He wears an Aero jacket.
He wears the jacket. You know, he gets in the car at the end. It's like they do a lot of like, you know, they're still trying to reach that classic Bond aesthetic.
Yeah. Well, you can follow me and Not On My Book on Twitter. And many of you do, and I thank everyone who does. You can follow us on Facebook. As I said, we're posting stuff on Facebook all the time. I found a really cool Batman GIF that a lot of people seem to like. So I'm starting to...
Is that the one where it changes all the
Batmans?
Yeah,
it's like every costume.
Yeah.
Starting to post things that aren't even news, but definitely posting things about news. Yeah, we found out that George Barris, who designed the Batmobile, passed away this week, which is sad. Melissa Matheson, who wrote E.T. and was married to Harrison Ford, passed away this week. So that's where you'll get a lot of the news between our episodes. And you can listen to us on Stitcher or iTunes or wherever podcasts are freely downloaded and given away.
We're giving this shit away, people.
We are. So there's almost no perceived value to it. That's what I like about it. So, you know, if we screw up, you can just dump us because really, what investment?
None.
Your time.
Yeah.
It's time. And Steven?
I'm always at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that!